Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Cannot emphasize enough the importance of the subject of which our Lord is speaking in both chapter 24 and 25, especially now in chapter 25. Because having given general exhortations to watchfulness and prayer in chapter 24 concerning His second coming into the end of the world, our Lord now turns in chapter 25 to His church in particular. Up till now, He's been giving them general exhortations, telling them to beware and watchful, and what the signs will be of His coming, about false prophets and false teachers and deceivers and false Christ. But now, beginning in verse 25, He turns to His church, and He emphasizes the great importance and urgent need for all professing believers to watchfulness, to diligence, and service, lest we find ourselves locked out of the kingdom of heaven. In the parable of the 10 virgins, there's 3 here in this chapter, He exhorts the true believer to watchfulness. Be aware, watch, lest ye find yourselves among the 5 foolish virgins. In the parable of the talents, which follow the parable of the 10 virgins, He exhorts us to diligence. When He leaves, He gives us a talent and says, be diligent and work and serve Me, lest when I come back, you be caught by surprise and that which you think you had be taken from you. And in the final verses of chapter 25, He exhorts us to service. So 3 things in this chapter He exhorts us to be aware of in these final days: watchfulness, diligence, and service. That's what's required of every true believer, especially in these latter days. If we believe that we are in the latter days and we believe the signs that He's spoken of as here and abounding around us, He said, you must exercise these 3 things if you're not going to find yourself locked out of God's presence. Now, I know that many are so assured of themselves that they say, that could never happen to me. I'm saved and it doesn't matter what I do and it doesn't matter where I go or what I say. God saved me and that's good enough for me, and so I can just go about my business. And the Lord will tell us in these 3 parables, or 2 parables in the story at the end of chapter 25, that if you have that mindset, then you're probably going to be finding yourselves locked out. Because if the godly are scarcely saved, according to Peter, where shall the ungodly appear? And so the Lord turns in chapter 25 and says, okay, after a general exhortation, now I'm going to turn to my church, and He's saying, now I'm telling you how urgent it is for you to be careful lest you find yourselves locked out. And if you think about it, that's a very serious and solemn exhortation. I pray that we not find our portion with the hypocrites and locked out of God's presence. It's a very solemn subject our Lord is speaking of in chapter 25. The first parable of the 10 virgins exhorts us to watchfulness, and He begins by showing us the spiritual condition of His church at His coming. Namely, that there shall be a mixture of believers with false believers or hypocrites. Look in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now the wise is reference to true believers. The foolish is in reference to hypocrites, as we'll see in a few moments. But he said, the condition of my church when I come back, this is what the condition of the church is going to be. There's going to be a mixture of hypocrites and true believers in the church. Not those that are outside sleeping at this very moment, saying, well, I'm a believer and it doesn't matter if I go to church. He's talking about those who appear before all to be true believers, yet in reality they're hypocrites, they're foolish virgins. And beloved, there has always been in Christ's church a mixture of hypocrites amongst true believers. Always has been, and there always will be till the day He returns. Goats, our Lord said, amongst the sheep. Tares growing side by side with the wheat. But in these latter days before Christ's coming, there's going to be a greater increase of that. And so our Lord tells us in these first few verses the condition of His church at His coming. Namely, there's going to be a mixture of unbelievers and believers, of true believers and hypocrites. You know, according to Matthew chapter 7, the number of those who shall cry out on that great day, Lord, Lord, are many. Now think about that. He said in Matthew chapter 7, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. For many, he says, shall come unto me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not done great works in thy name? Have we not done all these things? Yet Christ's response shall be, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The number is many. Beloved, that should strike an awe in our hearts, as even as true believers, that there are so many that are so self-deceived that they would truly believe that my condition before God is good. There's nothing wrong with my condition. God will accept me as I am, as the person I am. That's just the way God is. And yet God says, I don't care what you've done in my name. I don't care of the great works you've done in my name. He says, many shall say that, and yet I shall say to them, I know you not, ye workers of iniquity. Beloved, the Bible encourages and exhorts us from Genesis to Revelations to make our calling and election sure. Don't base your eternal salvation upon your feelings or what you think. The Scripture is the only touchstone whereby we can prove that our salvation is genuine, because we are, amongst all things, great deceivers of ourselves. And so the Bible exhorts us, and our Lord especially here in Matthew 25, using the illustration of the virgins. They all are virgins. They're all dressed alike. They all have lamps. They're all going out to meet the Lord. Yet when the day comes that the bridegroom comes, five of them find out that what they have isn't genuine. And it's too late. If they would have just looked and examined themselves before, if they would have just taken the time out to examine their hearts a little bit more, God, is there grace in my heart? Am I truly a child of God, or am I simply being religious? What is the state and condition of my heart? Is Christ truly within me, or am I simply going through the motions? Do I love Christ? Do I love God? Am I truly a child of God? Verse 2, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. Well, what was the difference? Why were five wise and five foolish? Watch what he says here. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They all took their lamps. They all went forth to meet the bridegroom. Yet the foolish, our Lord says, took no oil with them, only what was presently in the lamps. They had lamps lit when they went. But the wise, it says, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had more than what was simply in the lamp. They had some extra in their vessels. Beloved, this is the big difference between hypocrites and true believers. These five foolish were just concerned only with how they presently appeared. I'm like a virgin. I have my lamp. It's lit. I'm only concerned about how I appear presently. How people see me now. They're not concerned with preserving in the way. Only what people presently think of them now. You see, the five wise ones says, no, I've got oil, extra oil in my vessel. And the foolish says, oh, my light's shining. That's good enough for me now. Well, what happens when the oil goes out? Oh, well, I'll worry about that tomorrow. My light's burning today. You see, people seeing and noticing me now. They're seeing the things I do now. But God says, but you don't have any oil in your vessel. The light that you do have is going to extinguish. And you have nothing, nothing to bring the flames back. Because you see, they trim their lamps. Remember when the bridegroom comes? We'll look at that in a few minutes. They trim. In other words, what you do to trim your lamp is you put a little oil on the wick to light it up to get it started again. They didn't have any to do that and their lamps were empty. The hypocrite's not concerned about tomorrow. He's not concerned about the Lord's coming. He's only concerned about how he looks today. Just like these five foolish virgins. They have a lamp of profession in their hands, but have no grace in their hearts. They're not persevering. They're not resolute in their profession. It's a casual profession of faith. It doesn't matter if I go to church, so I don't read my Bible every day, so I don't pray. It's not that bad. God still loves me. You have no oil in your vessel. Beloved, to put oil in your vessel, we have to daily be renewing our fellowship with Christ in prayer and Bible reading so that we have oil in our vessels, not just merely oil in our lamps for now. Oh, I'm a believer. Like many hypocrites. You see them on the job, you see them in the neighborhood. Oh, I believe in God, but the very next moment they'll be cursing like a drunken sailor and saying wicked and vile things and living a wicked and vile life. But oh, when it comes Sunday, they put on their Sunday best and they go to church and they take their lamps and they sit down and say, it doesn't matter what I look like tomorrow, it matters what I look like now. How do people see me now? If people could follow us home, would we be the same in our closets as we are in public? Or does our light extinguish when we enter into our own homes? And we defile ourselves with the things of the world and with wickedness and hypocrisy. And when we come out, we take our lamps and say, well, look, I'm religious. This is what these five foolish virgins did. When they all started out, they all had lamps lit. Well, I'm just like the next one. I'm okay. But when the bridegroom did come and their oils were empty, their lamps were empty, they didn't have any oil in their vessel. It takes more than a vain profession, an empty, barren profession, to get into the bridegroom. You can't get in. You see, you think about it for a minute. They called and they were supposed to trim their lamps. They didn't have light to find the door. That's why they said, give us your oil. They said, no, we barely got enough for ourselves. The righteous are scarcely saved. I barely got enough for myself. I don't have enough to give you. I'm not sufficient to give you any of the oil in my vessel. And so the five foolish could find the door. Or the five wise could find the door. The five foolish could not because of darkness. They took their lamps, but had no oil in their vessels to preserve or keep their lamps burning.
Job 27 says this. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. What is the hope? What is the hope, the expectation? What is the hope of the hypocrite? What is the hope? What is the hypocrite's expectation? Though he hath gained, and what he means by that, made some progress in religious duties and head knowledge of Christ. That's what he's talking about. What is the expectation, the hope of the hypocrite, though he's gained some religious ground when God takes away his soul? That's what the five foolish were. What was your hope? What was your expectation? You made some progress in religion. You went to church. You was a church member. You professed to read the Bible, and occasionally you professed to be a Christian. Yet you had nothing in your heart. You made a gain. Yet when God takes away your soul, what do you have for that? We're better off that you didn't make a false profession of faith. It would be better off if you didn't make a vain profession of faith. It was better off that you didn't come to any knowledge of the truth than to die a hypocrite, is what our Lord's saying. I know it's a very solemn message here, a very solemn exhortation. That's why we must take it seriously. Our Lord is being very serious here. He said this is an urgent need, because some of you really believe that you're wise virgins when in reality you're foolish. He's not saying this to condemn them. He's saying them that they might be exhorted to watchfulness. Examine yourselves. Your pastor, your friend, your family, your wife, your husband, your children, on the day that the Lord returns or on the day of your death, no one has power over their brother to buy their souls, says Proverbs. No one is there to help you. When death comes, if the Lord don't return, there's no one in this world that can help us. And all the progress we make in religion will do nothing for us if we have no grace in our hearts. And it's amazing because these virgins didn't realize that till it was time to enter in. The whole time they didn't realize. They didn't care about that. And how many people on their deathbed have come to the sad realization that what they have in their hearts is not true? And the fear and the anguish and the anxiety of their hearts and their souls, their conscience, bearing witness against them that they've played nothing but the hypocrite all their lives. And now when they're about ready to meet God, their lamp is out. This is what our Lord is exhorting His disciples to. And again, dearly beloved, I know it's a hard and very difficult message to take, and yet our Lord says this so that we might be the more wiser. The reward of the hypocrite is his outward performance and is being recognized by men. That's his reward. Remember the Lord says that when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites. When you give your alms, don't be as the hypocrites, because they only do it to be seen of men. They have their reward. That's the reward of a hypocrite. People just, what people think of me. Yet he delighteth not himself in the Almighty, for he is void of any spiritual life. He doesn't delight in the Almighty. He just cares what men think. Like what Matthew Henry says, he said, the nature of hypocrisy lies in the heart. Now listen to this. The nature of hypocrisy lies in the heart, which is for the world and the flesh, when the outside seems to be for God and religion. Outwardly, he means, they look to be like for God and true Christianity, true religion. Yet hypocrisy is not what is outward. Hypocrisy is what's inward. It's in the heart. That's why the emphasis is they had no oil in their vessels. Because the religion they professed was merely an outward one that extinguished. And when that extinguishes, dearly beloved, and that extinguishes when the bridegroom shows up and reveals who we are, for every work and every word that's spoken shall be brought before the judgment seat of God. When the bridegroom shows up, all hypocrisy garments shall fall, and we shall be revealed for what we are. That's what happened here. They all took their lamps. They all went out to meet Him. At first they all shone bright as the next, until the call was made at midnight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet Him. And they went out to meet Him, and they found out they had no oil in their vessels.
Oh, beloved, I hope and pray that none of us here this morning, none of us here this morning shall meet that doom. To say, but oh, my light burned at once. I was sure it was lit, it was burning, and yet now I find myself with no oil in my vessel and my lamp is extinguished. And God is here and it's too late. Notice something else about this exhortation. In one way, they were all guilty of one thing. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So even though five wise virgins were slumbering and sleeping, they should have been watching. All slumbered and slept. That's not referring to literal sleep, but that they were caught unaware, that they were caught indifferent or off guard. You know, when you're asleep, you lose all senses. You don't sense anything when you're sleeping. You might dream, but you lose all senses. It doesn't literally mean they were sleeping. It means they were indifferent. They were going about their day's business. They were doing what they always do, but they were not aware of the bridegroom's coming. They were not awake. They were not alert to His coming. They were all going about their business. You remember in the days before the flood? What were they doing before the flood? The Bible tells us they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, they were going about their day's business. They were indifferent to the fact that a flood was coming. So many Christians today are indifferent to the fact that Christ is coming back. They read Matthew 25 and they say, oh boy, that's bad for the lost. Oh, them five foolish virgins, how unwise of them. Beloved, when the Lord comes back, we too as God's people must be prepared, alert and ready. But the church isn't like that today. You remember when our Lord came the first time? Pharisees, Sadducees, you know, a lot of those religious offices weren't in the New Testament. You got 430 years approximately between the Old Testament and New Testament. 430 years, God didn't say anything from heaven. God didn't say nothing. No prophets, no nothing. Christ shows up on the scene, suddenly there's Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers. What are they doing? They're all fighting and debating about to one another about whose dogmatic beliefs are right and whose denomination is right. And they're all entangled in that. Sadducees, Pharisees, lawyers. You find the same thing today. Churches today are so wrapped up in their debatings and their arguments and their controversies and everything else. They're going about their business and they're not even aware of the fact that our Lord is coming. They're not seeing the signs of His coming in the end of the world, and so they're not alert. They're like these ten virgins. They're slumbering and sleeping. I'm amazed to see how Christians, and they're, I believe, to be real Christians, are wasting time on things that are not serious enough. Menial things. Fighting and striving over menial things. They get in arguments over the slightest little doctrinal differences. Even though they agree in the major doctrines, they divide and fight and have schisms over menial things. This is the slumber and sleep. They were engulfed and preoccupied with their present wants and wishes and needs. They were going about their business, yet insensitive to the coming of the bridegroom. That's what they meant when they said they were slumbering and sleeping. All of them were. And that's what the church is today. They're wrapped up in all these other things instead of exhorting the believers to look, watch, and pray, be diligent, serve. Again, I remind you, all three of these in chapter 25, watchfulness, diligence, service, that's what we should be exhorting one another daily as Christians. Be watchful, be diligent in how you serve God and what God gives you. And serve God with all your heart. Because if we do those three things, beloved, we won't find ourselves slumbering and sleeping when the Lord comes. We won't find ourselves wrapped up with these menial, insignificant debates and arguments that Christians seem to be involved in and thrive in and love to do. We'll have our priorities right. We'll notice when our lamps go out. All their lamps went out. All ten had to trim their lamps. We'll notice when the flame begins to flicker and we can take the oil in our vessels and we can trim our lamps and keep the light burning. But the light has gone out and most Christians, most churches don't even realize that. so busy arguing and fighting over menial things, insignificant doctrinal differences. I'm not saying we shouldn't contend for the faith. Anyone who's known me for any amount of time knows I'm all for contending for the faith. False doctrine's wrong, and we should preach against it and defend the truth. But some of our brethren are just wrapped up in fightings and over things that are non-essential, because they're slumbering and sleeping. They've lost what's priority. You can say, "Preacher, what is priority?" Well, first of all, like our Lord says here, watchfulness. Second of all, diligence. When God gives us a talent, God give us the grace to go out and use it. There's people out there lost and dying and going to hell that need Christ. And we should be doing our best to reach them for Christ and preach the gospel and be excited about it and joy in it and make every effort we can to tell other people about Christ and use the talents God's given us to tell everybody else. And at the end of the chapter, we should serve Him. Delight in serving Him. That's what Peter says in the end of his. He's talking about the last days when scoffers shall come and everything else. And he says, "Oh, where's the promise of His coming?" Well, Peter says, if you know these things to be true, what all manner of men should you be in all holy conversation? In other words, how you carry yourself. Live a godly life. Be watchful, diligent, serving, praying. Oh, but that's a wise virgin. Then we'll notice when our lamps begin to dim and the light begins to flicker, and we'll use the oil in our vessels to rekindle that fire. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Look what he says in verse 13 at the end of this. He said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day," that's a 24-hour period, "or the hour." He brings it down to the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know when He's going to come. It could be tomorrow, the next day, next week. It could be within the next hour. Don't get preoccupied with this world. Don't get preoccupied with the means and the needs and the wants and wishes of this world. I know there's things we have to be busy about. We've got our jobs. We've got families to take care of. We've got bills to pay. But don't be so preoccupied with those things that we forget and be reminded every day, this could be the day the Lord comes back. This could be the day the bridegroom, the cry is made, the bridegroom is here. Trim your lamps, go meet the bridegroom. That's how we should live every day. And if we live that way, it's going to change the way we live on a daily basis. Our attitudes, the way we carry ourselves. Arise every day thinking this could be the day. The cry is made, the bridegroom is there. And the door is opened. And yet watch how this comes to a conclusion here in verse 6. "And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." They recognized it too late. "But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready," look at that, and they that were ready, "went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut." Let me ask you a question. Who closed the door on Noah's Ark? God did. Read the passage in Genesis. And God shut up the ark. The more I looked at this passage of Scripture the last week and thought about it, those are terrifying words. The door was shut. There's a lot of things in the Scripture, a lot of verses in the Scripture, that kind of makes me stand in awe. This is one of them. The other one is, shall never be forgiven. And there is a verse in there that says that. Shall never be forgiven. To think about never being forgiven. Oh my God, what a punishment. But that the door was shut.
let the door shut with you on the outside, with me on the outside. And afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. The door shut open. We now have our oil and our lamps and we're ready to enter in. We bought some oil. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I don't know you. Well, what do you mean you don't know us? We walked with the other five virgins. We were dressed like them. We had lamps like them. We came the same time they did. We got up to meet you just like they did. We were just like they were. We did everything they did. We went to church. I read my Bible occasionally. I prayed occasionally. I told other people that I was a Christian. I did everything they did. But the door shut. Lord, I went to church just like they did. I made the same profession they did. I did everything they did. What's the difference between them and me? Why have you locked me out? They were ready. And had oil in their vessels. And you didn't. And therefore you're shut out forever. Beloved, again, our Lord tells us these things not to condemn us. This is mercy and grace. Because the Lord's saying, I'm telling you this parable that you might watch. Because look at the mercy in verse 13. Watch therefore. You see the mercy in that? He's trying to awaken us. Watch there. For you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man. So He's saying, I'm telling you this that you might wake out of your sleep. Check your lamps. Do you have sufficient oil in your vessel? Are you ready to meet the Bridegroom? Don't find yourself wanting on the day when the Bridegroom calleth. For if you do, and the door is shut, once the door is shut, there'll be no entering in again. I believe with all my heart, when God shut the door to the ark, them rains came. I seen a portrait of an Englishman back in the 17th century who tried to paint the flood. It's a very vivid picture. And I'm talking about hurricanes, tidal waves. It wasn't just a slow rising and people just drowned. I mean, you think hurricanes are bad and tidal waves, that's how it came. Suddenly. And I'll bet people were pounding on that door. Noah, we believe now. There's still time. Open the door, Noah. We're out here, Noah. Let us in. And I'm not so sure Noah would have let him in if he could. Not saying that Noah is more compassionate than God. But God shut the door. It was too late. Even if Noah wanted to, he couldn't open that door. Even Abraham, remember the rich man of Lazarus? The rich man says, hey, well, give me a drop of water. Even Abraham said, there's a gulf between us. I can't get to you. I'm sure people were pounding on that door, scratching on it until their fingers bled, trying to get in. When once the door is shut, it's too late. Don't let your lamps go out. Examine yourselves. Know ye not that Christ is in you, lest ye be reprobates? Make your calling and election sure. And once you do that, beloved, let's be watchful, diligent, and ever serving God. So that when the cry comes, the Bridegroom is there, we can trim our lamps, and we can all enter into the marriage. And the door shuts behind us, not in front of us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I've done all that I could possibly do as a human being and still feel as though I failed utterly. May the words of the living God
reach into the depths of all of our souls. And Lord, may we not be simply stirred by this truth, but Lord, I pray we'd be shaken up by it. Oh, Father, I pray, help us to be watchful. The signs of Thy coming and the end of the world abound around us. Many are slumbering and sleeping. Awake us, we pray, dear God. Help us to daily renew our fellowship with You in prayer. Give us a hunger and desire to read Thy Word. And most of all, help us to have communion with the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray, help us through this week. Use us as a testimony and as a witness of Your grace and Your glory. We love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.